Welcome to Talking About Organizations, a podcast on organization and management studies, graciously supported by our listeners and the Management Learning Journal. This is a supplement to episode 99, where we discuss the article, Hierarchies, Jobs, Bodies, A Theory of Gendered Organizations by Joan Ocker, published in the journal Gender and Society in 1990. Joan Ocker was a prominent feminist in organization theory who studied matters of gender, class, and race inequities. Having joined the University of Oregon faculty in 1967, she and other colleagues noted the need to study and address gender inequality in society. Therefore, in 1973, she founded the Center for the Sociological Study of Women and campaigned for affirmative action plans to address unfair differences between male and female faculty in terms of status, pay, and research opportunities. Now, this was during the second wave of feminism. But by 1990, the first two waves of feminism had passed, yet women continued to be marginalized in the workplace. So that year, Ocker published this article. She claimed that part of the reason was that prior feminist research had wrongly assumed that organizational structures were gender neutral. Instead, everything about organizations, from structures to symbols, are inherently gendered. And until that was acknowledged and studied, organizations would continue to reinforce longstanding gender inequality. Ocker's article exemplifies the shift in the gender discourse toward feminism's third wave, where calls for reform were overtaken by calls to transform the workplace. Ocker's purpose was to issue a call for new research into a systematic theory of gender and organizations that addresses the persistence of gender segregation through organizational practices, the resulting income and status inequalities as a result, and the inherent reproduction of these inequalities through symbols, norms, and structures. Her critique was not only leveled against organizations, but also against scholarship, which assumed gender-neutral structures populated by workers. Furthermore, she pointed out the limits of only considering questions of efficiency and performance in the study of organizations, as that prevented feminist inquiries into the humane treatment of members and improved participation in decision-making. In developing a feminist view of organizations, she hoped to make them more, quote, democratic and more supportive of humane goals, end quote. Ocker builds her case by examining the growing body of evidence from the 1970s and 1980s that gender is a constitutive element of organizations, not separate from it. She writes that, quote, the structure of the labor market, relations in the workplace, the control of the work processes, and the underlying wage relations are always affected by symbols of gender, processes of gender identity, and material inequalities between women and men, end quote. Among other processes, she explored how work divisions, ideal work behaviors, and images of success reinforce power and status differences based on gender. Moreover, the tendency to disembody the worker from the job and treat workers as interchangeable entities further exacerbates gender differences rather than resolves them. Ocker's proposals are even more relevant as the pandemic and various economic downturns have highlighted the problems brought by looking at workers as disembodied and jobs as neutral structures. Such classic work thus raises timely questions about how competitive pressures may further push human approaches to work away, and how some of the changes brought by the pandemic may be leveraged toward more democratic workplaces. And that's all for now. We invite you to listen to the episode, available in two parts on our website at www.talkingaboutorganizations.com or through your favorite podcast streaming service. We also thank the Management Learning Journal for their generous support and the support of our wonderful listeners. Thank you for listening and have a great day.